and universal danger that people find hard to imagine. But the patrician was being rather sharp with people, and that is a specific and highly personal danger, and people had no problem relating to it at all. The barge, under whose huge tarpaulin something was already taking shape, wallowed between the boats. Lord Vetinari went aboard only once and looked gloomily at the vast piles of material that littered the deck. "This is costing us a considerable amount of money," he told Leonard, who had set up an easel. "I just hope there will be something to show for it." "The continuation of the species, perhaps," said Leonard, completing a complex drawing and handing it to an apprentice. "Obviously that, yes." "We shall learn many new things," said Leonard, "that I'm sure will be of immense benefit to posterity. For example, the survivor of the Maria Pesto reported that things floated around in the air as if they had become extremely light. So I have devised this." He reached down and picked up what looked to Lord Vetinari like a perfectly normal kitchen utensil. "It's a frying pan that sticks to anything," he said proudly. "I got the idea from observing a type of teasel, which—" "And will this be useful?" said Lord Vetinari. "Oh, indeed. We will need to eat meals and cannot have hot fat floating around. The small details matter, my lord. I have also devised a pen which writes upside down."
"No. Could you not simply turn the paper up the other way?"
An extract from the Journal of Leonard of Querm. "It appears to me that the substance that surrounds our world is as navigable as the sea or the air, having instead of winds and currents the shaping of the ether by the presence of matter in greater or lesser amounts. The sun and moon and the minor planets, which I believe are made of elephant dung, daily circumnavigate the turtle by a process which I may describe as a fall which never ends, or ring path. All is a matter of thrust and direction and curves that may be described with absolute accuracy. In the world, perfection, in the heavens, the sublime geometry." The line of sledges moved across the snow.
"It's damn cold," said Caleb. "Feeling your age, are you?" said Boy Willie. "You're as old as you feel, I always say."
"What?"
"He says you're as old as you feel, Hamish."
"What? Feeling what?"
"I don't think I've become old," said Boy Willie. "Not your actual old. Just more aware of where the next lavatory is."
"The worst bit," said Truckle, "is when young people come and sing happy songs at you."
"Why are they so happy?" said Caleb.
"'Cause they're not you, I suppose."
Fine, sharp snow crystals, blown off the mountain tops, hissed across their vision. In deference to their profession, the horde mostly wore tiny leather loincloths and bits and pieces of fur and chainmail. In deference to their advancing years, and entirely without comment among themselves, these had been underpinned now with long woolly combinations and various strange elasticated things. They were dealing with time as they had dealt with nearly everything else in their lives, as something you charged at and tried to kill. At the front of the party, Cohen was giving the minstrel some tips.
"First off, you've got to describe how you feel about the saga," he said. "How singing it makes your blood race, and you can hardly contain yourself that... You've got to tell him what a great saga it's going to be, understand?"
"Yes, yeah, I think so. And then I say who you are," said the minstrel, scribbling furiously.
"Nah! Then you say what the weather was like."
"Oh, you mean like it was a bright day?"
Nah, you got to talk saga. So first off, you got to put the sentences the wrong way round."
"Oh, you mean like bright was the day?"
"Right, good. I knew you was clever."
"Clever you was, you mean,"
said the minstrel before he could stop himself. There was a moment of heart-stopping uncertainty, and then Cohen grinned and slapped him on the back. It was like being hit with a shovel.
"That's the style. What else now?" "Oh, yeah. No one ever talks in sagas. They always spakes."
"Spakes?"
"Like, up spake Wolf the Sea Rover, see? and people are always the something, like me. I'm